Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Jared Boudreaux. Jared is the father of three, husband of one, and the owner of Lost Coast Wellness. Thanks for joining us today, Jared.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man.
So what do we want to get into first?
Ooh, we got a lot of good fun stuff, man. I know you've been in the industry since 2005 as a cultivator, and not just as a cultivator, but on the CBD side, which is unique. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about your experience there. And also what you guys are doing now with Lost Coast and how unique it is, really, with your genetics, focusing on the efficacy and all that fun stuff. But as I was saying, let's get it started off easy. Let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
Shelter Cove, California.
Cali.
Northern Humboldt.
Very nice.
Or Southern Humboldt. In Humboldt.
Used to obviously, seeing as how you started off as a cultivator, I started off as a purveyor of said cannabis back in, 2003, 2004 in the traditional market. So I made many a trip up to Humboldt and brought stuff back down to Southern California. So very cool that you're up there. But, like I said at the beginning, you got started off in 2005. But can you take me back, with your history with cannabis, how you got into it, and lead me up to what you guys are doing now?
For sure. Let's see, 2005, we were on vacation, my wife and I, and 3-month-old baby, Eloise, daughter. We came out here on vacation, and while we're on vacation, we lost everything in Hurricane Katrina. So we were in the midst of starting over in California, and in doing so, we, realized, since we were kind of stuck here, that you could actually grow cannabis according to the 215, Prop 215 law. And so I was like, this is unbelievable. I couldn't, in Louisiana, you go to jail for a joint, and here you can grow it. And so, and it had always been medically useful to me. Anytime I would smoke, I'd get clear headed. I would feel better. Like, it was medicine to me, and everybody's telling me it's a drug and it's all this crazy stuff. And so I ended up getting stuck in California as a result of the hurricane. And then I started growing some plants. But the first plants that I grew happened to be CBD, because it had always had a medical therapy or a medical effect for me. So I decided whenever I was going to grow something, I'd find some CBD plants. And the reason why it was CBD is I just so happened to read an article. I think it was with Stephen D'Angelo, came out saying something about through Harborside, that they had these CBD plants and they were medical, and I just said, well, let me go grab those. So I went and got the Harlequin and the Blueberry, which had 3% at that point. And those were the highest testing CBD strains that we knew of, that I had found, and I'm actively trying to research which strains are testing high in CBD once I saw the article. And the only one that I could find were these two in particular coming out of Harborside. And so we worked with these plants for years, and I wanted a higher percentage of CBD because I was seeing the medicinal effects these particular plants were having over others. And so I knew very early on the CBD thing was something. And I didn't quite know what, you know, I'm just a contractor at this point, but I'm noticing patterns and I'm seeing things that are working very well. And I'm going, okay, so I need higher CBD. So I'm always actively hunting CBD at this point, 2005, 2006, 2007. I contacted Rick Simpson via Facebook. Facebook, and we communicated for, you know, months over different recipes. I'm asking him, you know, have you ever used, do you know what CBD is? Do you know the difference between indica and sativa? Is indica work better? Or is sativa work better? You know, I'm asking all these questions, and he's just like, you put it in the alcohol, you let it sit for 2 days. And, you know, he didn't know much in 2007, basically, the difference, and neither did I. I was just simply asking the questions because I was seeing the difference between the two, because I just so happened to be growing CBD first. And so that led me to really be experimenting with CBD strains and be actively looking for higher CBD strains. And that led me to an article with Larry Ringo out of Humboldt, had a 5% CBD, and it was a sour tsunami. And so I then was trying to get up here to come find Larry Ringo in the middle of Humboldt. You know, I've never been up here. I didn't know a soul up here, but I knew there was this guy, Larry Ringo, in the woods that had a 5% CBD plant, and I had to get it. And so I ended up having this guy that was living with us. His girlfriend got an offer to go trim that one of the years in 2000, I want to say 11. She got an offer to go trim at a job in Humboldt. And so she came up here, and my buddy came with her, and she worked on a job. My buddy started hunting for Larry Ringo. Ended up finding Larry Ringo and got him in touch with me. I then set up a vacation with the family. We drove up in the RV. We came to Humboldt. I got to meet Larry. And I think it was the week after or 2 weeks after I got to meet him to talk about getting this strain. He got diagnosed with cancer. And I didn't even really know that he'd gotten diagnosed once right after I'd met him. And then I basically was here for a month. We went back home. We sold everything. I literally moved back up here to Humboldt 2 months later. And by the time I got back up here, Larry had died. He basically died 3 months after diagnosis. So then I'm kind of going, okay, what's going on here? I just moved up here to start doing breeding projects and collect these genetics and go all in on the CBD thing, because I had realized I was in the mecca of being able to grow and explore all of these, you know, different cultivars and just being able to freely kind of do my work, so to speak. And so Larry was gone. He ends up, before he dies, sends all of his genetic material over to Kevin Jodry. And he has, Kevin Jodry had just started a dispensary called Grass. And he started offering, it was Larry Ringo's wish to basically give all that CBD material away. And let me back up just a little bit. That CBD material, I came up here looking for Larry, found Larry. 3 months later, I'm able to get and move up here. Well, that year before I read the article and got up here to meet Larry, there was a breeding project that happened at Dreddy Aaron's with Larry Ringo and Jaime. And Jaime is a guy who won the Spanibus competition the same year, at the same month that Larry Ringo discovered his 5% CBD. Jaime won the Spanibus competition with the Canatonic line, and it just so happened to have a 5% as well. Kevin Jodry happened to be at the competition and went up to Jaime and said, I need you to come back to America. I need you to introduce you to my friend Larry Ringo. You guys need to do a breeding project. That breeding project happens at Dreddy Aaron's, and that is happening the year just before I got here. So when I got here, they had already bred the I call them the Big 11, basically, that came out of that breeding project. And it's the ACDC, the Oracle, the Amrita, the Suzy Q, all these different, these major strains that were not present in the world before came out of that breeding project of the Harlesu, Sour Tsunami and Larry Ringo and the Canatonic line from Jaime. So these two breed lines come together and form all these new cultivars of CBD that the world had not previously seen. That's when I showed up on the stage. You know, I basically got to Humboldt right as Larry died, and all that genetic material was being pushed out for free out of Kevin Jodry's dispensary. So then I started gobbling up all this material going, oh, you guys don't understand what you're doing. You don't understand. And they were all just like, yeah, we do, but you know, we got to get it out so that people can understand what it is. And so they're giving it away. And I became very good friends with Kevin Jodry. He's giving the material away. I'm taking the material away and going breeding with it, and creating different strains and stabilizing it, feminizing it. You know, I have all these original genetics from those original lines, and I have the original Canatonic line from Jaime, and I have, you know, the original line from Ringo. So I have all of these original breed lines back in the day that I've been breeding with. And that's kind of what makes my genetic line maybe a little unique, because I've been kind of collecting them early on. And you know, like the Charlotte's Web is actually the ACDC. It's only two terpenes different, so it's genetically identical. But you know, so when Kevin was giving out all this free material, someone came from Florida, grabbed ACDC, brought it back over there, named it Charlotte's Web, and there you go. Wow. So, but that was happening at a crazy rate at that point. And in 2013, 2014, he's just still giving them away, and people are flooding over here, realizing what's going on, breeding all of those original 11 into all sorts of other stuff. And now there's this explosion of testing that's going on around the country. And so, but that's all, it all started in my opinion in Humboldt County, because I was hunting it prior, you know, in 2005, I was looking for anybody that had CBD and nobody had it. Harborside started testing and found the two strains that were the highest. Then the next person was Samantha Miller with Larry Ringo, and they came out with the 5%. And then the next testing was Samantha Miller again in that next breed line batch where the Big 11 came out. And then subsequently, just very within 2 years, you had all of these other strains like Shark Attack, and you know, just all these just other high ratio CBD strains that you had never seen before. And now all of a sudden, there's an explosion of them onto the market. Wow. But if you want to, if you trace them back, they're basically all coming back to, you know, Humboldt County for the most part. I'm not going to say 100% because that would be misleading, but I would say the majority of the CBD genetics came right out of Humboldt County.
Sure. That's, I mean, all this stuff is, you know, first and foremost, and I'm sorry to hear about your displacement there with, you know, with Katrina. I'm sure that leaves a lot of scars there all the way back then. You know, and it's not our job to look and say, oh, well, you know, in ourselves, we're, you know, it's good to look at ourselves and say, wow, you know, this definitely happened for a reason. You know, for someone else, we're supposed to say, I'm really sorry that happened, man. That's fucked up, and I'm here for you. You know
right. what I mean? But, yeah.
You know, but, you know, yeah, but I totally. Guess that being said, you know, it's like, man, the way it worked out for you, you know, the way it worked out for you going out to California and obviously not under pleasant circumstances. But I mean, this is like not small stuff, you know? I mean, the relationships, the knowledge that you're able to have to build all the way back then. And, you know, I guess, you know, for me, the most fascinating thing is you know, going back to 2005, as I said, you know, I mean, I was on a medical card and I was, you know, looking for the stuff with the most THC and looking to get high and whatever else, you know, and obviously, you know, seeking relief for my own stuff, you know, getting off of Ritalin and all that fun stuff. But that being said, I don't recall back then talk, you know, CBD is not a new thing. Isolated in the 1940s, research, you know, visits 1960s, 70s, and it goes all the way back, obviously. But for me, you know, right now, you look around the industry, and it's this buzzword, right? Obviously, it's part of the whole green rush, and people are going in there, and that this is what people are looking to do. But you were talking about this all the way back in 2005, you could identify this if this was helping you, and that's what you're seeking out was high CBD strains. I mean, talk to me about that. This is before, you know.
Yeah, my family,
you know.
my family have heard the word CBD more than, you know, than anyone, and they're just tired of hearing it. They're like, and now they're just starting to go, wait,
now you've been fully vindicated.
Now they're like, wait a second, you whoa,
you were really? Talking about, like, this 15 finally. Years ago.
Yeah, finally. But, you know, it's out of necessity for me, too. You know, I was diagnosed early with ADD, attention deficit disorder, yeah, hyperactivity. Uh-huh. I was given the Ritalin, the Adderall, and the Prozac. And I just, I wouldn't take it. I started taking it. I'd see how it would affect me. And then I'd pretend to take it and go, I got to change my behavior when I'm around these people so that they think I'm on it. And then it started this whole, like, totally having to think a little harder kind of thing, which maybe was more beneficial to me than the actual medicine was, because it made me, you know, kind of start to think, how am I going to navigate this thing? Because I'm not taking these pills, and I really need to stay who I am. And then when I found weed, it allowed me to really fix that. You know, I had bad back, I had inner bowels. I had all sorts of issues. And when I started taking the RSO, it started fixing all of these things miraculously. And I was just like, wait a second, I was told this stuff's bad. And it's actually doing a lot of really good things for me. And I'm having this own little personal journey, because nobody knows about RSO. Nobody knows about CBD. Nobody knows what's going on, but I'm really having these internal discussions with myself that are real. I am getting better. I am feeling that I'm not just deluding myself, but I'm stronger. I'm more mentally fit. I can remember things. You know, because I struggled with my short-term memory even when I was a child. Uh-huh. I had a lot of stress when I was born. You know, I was basically almost born dead. I had a umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. I had pooed in my mouth. I was basically, they got me back. So I had a lot of stress growing up. And so I had a lot of damage to repair. And when I started taking these CBDs, these new neuro pathways started forming, and I started really realizing how beneficial this was. And at the same time, though, I'm realizing that you really can't say anything to anyone about it. You know, if you're having your own thing, that's great, but you can't go around telling people that this is what it does. And so that became the next kind of strange thing to deal with. How do you
Yeah.
How do you have this thing that's potentially so beneficial, but you can't say anything about it?
Yeah, I mean,
and
about
coming
that
from
well.
A person, I mean, I genuinely love and want to help people. You know, genuinely. I don't know. It might sound cliche, but I really, when I was finding out what this was doing for me, I was really excited to be able to share it with everyone. And I found out that I couldn't. It was, that's tough, you know. And so we really need to, as a society, I think we should come together and really try to start changing the way that, you know, we're able to speak about these things. I understand making medical claims. Nobody wants to make a medical claim that's not true, because no one wants to give anyone false hope. But to share knowledge about something openly, that to me isn't necessarily making medical claims. We're sharing knowledge, or we're sharing experience with each other that others can maybe have for themselves to offer some help through their tough time. And that's just a human need. That to me is a human desire to help. It's not the snake oil type of salesman mentality. It's a genuine craving to help other people, and doing that in a way, you know, saying the right thing at the right time to the right people, that's such a challenge nowadays. So I don't know. I just feel like if we could really figure out a way to, at least with CBD and these new cannabis compounds, to be able to share knowledge openly without it being medical claimish.
Yeah, no, it's
and
so
I don't
difficult.
Know what that means, but it is.
We all deal with that.
But hopefully hopefully they'll change the legislation and it will become a food supplement, and we're about to talk a little more openly about it and kind of start doing some real studies. And we're heading that way. That's what's, you know, it's what's really exciting. I see the future is just so bright with all of this. You know, I got into this with the CBDs and the medical applications. But little did I know that those same plants would be able to transition into our industrial applications, because they have a lot of the hemp desirable traits in them. So they get really big and tall, and they have fibrous, and they have lots of herb, but they're also producing terpenes and compounds for medical applications. And so to use these old strains that I have and mix them with new things and to develop super plants that can provide more cradle-to-cradle applications for industrial applications, from building wood to hempcrete to being able to produce different compounds and different terpenes and, you know, different types of bedding and different, you know, all or different types of products come out of a singular plant. That's exciting to me. So I'm actually in negotiations with some companies now to try to go through some of that material, the hemp material that can transition, you know, into many industrial applications.
Wow. And I know you guys there, you know, so, you know, Lost Coast Wellness, you guys are not only that, but dealing with the ATC, dealing there with the, you know, we talk about having to navigate and having to watch what we say, and we all have to deal with that, obviously, you know, because, like, you know, we're talking about it, you know, it really sucks, right? Because we can use this, you know, these case studies, and there is research being done in other places, and there's a lot of research being suppressed, and a lot of, as we know, grants not being funded, and you know, and we're talking about, you know, people need to get their cut before we're going to be able to talk about it freely. But you know, you guys there are actually getting your labels approved by the Louisiana Health Department. Can you kind of talk to me what that process looks like, and how even more difficult it makes to navigate in even the normal, I guess?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I've been through two different permitting processes. We went through a medical cannabis permitting process in Humboldt County, which took 3 years. And so that was probably the hardest, most regulated thing I've ever had to deal with in my entire life by a factor of 1,000. In terms of the farm setup, the recordings that we had to keep, in terms of the security, and it was ridiculous. So we went through that, and so we were kind of trained in that medical cannabis regulatory environment. And then we transferred over, and in that environment, we're able to say a lot more than we can in the hemp environment, because we're in medical cannabis. We're in a regulated state. It is so regulated, and that's why we're able to say a little bit different things. Having said that, when we transitioned into national hemp, we were kind of already trained on the protocol. And not only were we trained on the protocol for medical cannabis, you know, I think that's why we were able to get our permit faster than maybe most people, because we were already trained to the regulations for medical cannabis, and we took that approach with hemp and medical hemp. Everything that we are doing with our hemp company is fully registered to the ATC and the health department. And so having to go through those departments and being national, we have to follow completely different guidelines than our medical cannabis. So, you know, we can't say a whole lot when it comes to the national hemp company. We have to really keep it very broad and open and simple. And so, but that process was much easier in terms of the red tape, I guess, of getting the actual permit and going through the process. It took us only about maybe a year, a little less than a year, whereas the other one took us 3 years, and just every day, you know, multiple people on the project to get it done. So it's kind of a, you know, on one hand, it was much harder in medical cannabis, but you could say, you know, what you're doing. On the other hand, and on hemp, it was a little easier to get the permit, but you can't say kind of what you're doing. So it's a, that's the game that we're trying to deal with at this point, is what can we say? How can we say it? And, you know, and it's not about tricking the health department or anyone. It's about being as completely honest and education and educating people about what this is, because we're, let's be honest, we're conducting a very large experiment right now. And while we're having all these amazing benefits, we also need to be honest about looking for things that may not be beneficial as we go through this experiment. And that's just, you know, I think that's anyone that's honestly looking out for the betterment of the people is going to take that approach over their profits. You know, I recommend products all the time to other people that are not in my company and I don't make any money off of, but I know they are closer to that person. They can get to them faster, or for whatever the reason is, our business plan is to educate and to really empower people with the plant as much as possible, and to really gather as much data from that open process as we can, so that we can then share that information back with the public in a way that drives our efficacy even higher. And it just helps more people get off of opioids.
Yeah, it's yeah, no, it sucks. You know, it really does suck, because like you said, you know, people who can benefit, and we're sitting here playing the waiting game, because you know, people either get a slap on the wrist, or you get your property
taken
seized,
out,
you know, completely. And you know, so it's really, really, really tough, obviously. In the meantime, that, you know, there's people who do need to be educated, and, you know, we're not here to make outrageous claims either. You know, we do see people who make outrageous claims, and that's also disgusting. You know, you also see people who are like, oh my goodness, man, you know, plastered on, you know, what CBD will do for you. And it's on their, on their storefront, whatever else. You're like, oh my goodness, this is outrageous. You know, so we're not here to make outrageous claims either. We're just here to bring benefit to people, you know, who need it, who don't necessarily know. And like you said, you know, it goes along with towing this line where, you know, people think it's snake oil, and there's people who live and die by it and say, oh my goodness, it's going to do this and that. And it's like, okay, well, it's probably somewhere in between, you know, and we're going to, you know, like I said, it sucks. You know, we're waiting on.
I think it is somewhere. Right. I think it is somewhere right in between. There's, you know, it's all about the proper applications and the not just the proper applications, but the entourage effect for that particular individual. Mm-hmm. We're noticing that if we can find the genome of the plant, the genome of the illness, and the genome of the person, and we match those, we're getting efficacy through the roof. Now doing that is a challenge. So we're trying to develop strains that offer a broad spectrum and different zones of therapies.
Definitely. You know, I guess, you know, so where do we go from here, you know, with Lost Coast Wellness? I know you guys have, you know, talking about 150, you know, different recipes. You know, what does it look like? You know, what does the future hold here for Lost Coast Wellness?
We are going to just keep our heads down. We are launching with our 12 or 13 major products that, you know, everybody, you know, our top sellers, basically, we're going to launch with those. And every 4 to 6 months or so, we're going to launch another 4 to 8 products. And we're going to be slowly getting to that 150 number. You know, we don't want to create a bunch of different products that aren't really going to sell because we're not known yet. We kind of want to start slow and small and organic and really kind of grow based on sales and based on our ability to actually move products so that we're creating things as fresh as possible. And, you know, all of our batch, all of our product basically comes from the first certified organic hemp farm in California. So all of our biomass is certified organic. It goes from there to a processing facility with some of the highest rigorous testing known. And then from there, it goes to our manufacturers in Missouri, where we do another third party testing. So we've at this point tested it 3 different times. And then we post those batch tests on our website so people can see really what's in the product in real time. And they can see it change a little bit as our formulations change a little bit. And, but we're really open about, you know, anything. You can call me on the phone and whenever you're, our website will be launched in about 2 weeks. We're doing some construction, the final construction on it and, the final approval once we get our batch testing, which is done on all of our products and everything passed with flying colors. So now we have to just take that QR code and attach it to a label and then have that final approval done through the health department now that everything else is approved. And then we're able to actually go into business at that point. So and that's happening basically today and tomorrow. And then we'll be launching in about 2 weeks. we got, you know, like I said, we're launching with those first 13 products. And we're going to be bringing more on. You know, we're going to be doing, you know, we've got toothpaste and we have conditioners and shampoo. And we have packs for all different types of therapies. You know, we don't want to say anything else than that. We're just kind of, we have targeted therapies and you will be able to see what the ingredients when you check out the website, kind of what they're tailored for.
And so I have a couple of questions. Yeah. I mean, going back a little bit, you know, really, you know, a lot of times in this podcast, we talk about how do people navigate through a space, and, you know, how do people learn how to navigate through a space, you know? And we talk about mentorship a lot and where we learned all this stuff from. And you shared a lot of that with us already. And, you know, I'll be honest, you have so much, a plethora of experience, like firsthand being taught from like the leaders, you know, original, you know, the OGs really of this industry, especially in that area. So it's, you know, really, you know, we talk about education and how we need to educate others. And you have so much knowledge, like I said. What are your plans to pass down that knowledge onto other people and onto the next generation of growers, on the next generation of users, on the next generation of industry leaders?
Well, that is our plan with Lost Coast Wellness, is to be education. I mean, it's to do exactly that, is to answer any question that we can, to be as open source as we can about our products. And if you know, if you want to know what's in it, you want to know the ingredients because you want to make it at your own house, then go for it. You know, we're a lot different of a company. We really just want to spread knowledge and the education behind this plant. And we feel an educated person is an educated consumer, and an educated consumer is just going to help us all, you know. So our goal is to really educate. I mean, it's to you know. Yeah, I've noticed it in this, I've been doing this for a while, I know a lot about a lot of different things. And what I do best is when someone tells me what they want to know, or tells me where they are in their knowledge, and I can kind of speak to that more than me letting everyone know how smart I am about whatever. You know, that doesn't always resonate, you know, in certain crowds maybe, but I kind of speak to, what do you want to know? What are you interested in? What direction do you want to take?
Yeah.
And then I'll feed that.
I mean, that's kind of what we talked about before the podcast. It was kind of, you know, a lot of times I, you know, pull back the curtain a little bit. You know, I really, you know, once we let the podcast start, then I, you know, kind of take a more direction. But, you know, I really want my guests to be able to tell me their expertise and everything that goes on and everything like that, so then I can properly prepare the pod, you know, prepare the episode. But you were like, let me know what you want to know, you know, and there's so right. much, there's so much here that you have, you know, really, like I said, it's really, it really is unique. Like I said, a lot of times we've been focusing on cultivation, people like doing it for 23 years and even focus on a different side, and so much education with that. So I really appreciate that. And, you know, we talked about some of the problems with navigating, obviously, through the business, through the approval stuff, through the song and dance bullshit, what we can say, what we can't say, you know, the applications, all that. And, you know, talking about now, you know, by the time this is live, you guys are going to be completely live, right? So tell me, like, what's been that biggest barrier, you know, aside from those applications, all that stuff, and finally getting everything up and going, all this work, all these years of preparation, and you guys now are bringing this, you know, this high efficacy, high yield, and what you guys have been focusing on for so long to it. What's been the biggest obstacle there to bring that to fruition?
To bring it to fruition, the biggest obstacle. That's a great question. I would say myself and making this, you know, there's just the constant drive for higher efficacy is just set us back a while. And I feel like it's all been good at the end of the day. But we've really have formulated these recipes based on so much. I mean, it's not just putting some CBD in a cream and putting it on the shelf.
Yeah.
I mean, the ingredients that
or
are
just slapping a label on something on another person's product. And okay, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
I don't want to poo-poo the whole industry and all that stuff. But you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I really do.
Totally. And there are great people doing great things out there. Exactly. I don't want to diminish their products because they work great. we've just taken it to another level, and we are calculating the bioavailability of all of the ingredients within our product, and then the CBD in with that, and the absorption rates of the skin that it's going on in the different locations. And so there's a little bit different level of why our products work. I mean, they work because they work by design, and it's years of making them work and not just putting things that seem like they'd be good together in a product and then putting it on someone. Our products are designed for specific things. And so when they go on you, they do that thing. And me wanting it to do it better and better and better led us to finally launching in the next 2 weeks and not doing it 3 years ago when we were legally able to. So the biggest obstacle I would say is, you know, would have been us, because everything else is mechanical. It's do your job, you know, wake up every day, make the right phone calls, you know, stay diligent. Those are all mechanisms of good hard work. So the other outline factor of that was just creating the products that we felt 1,000% confident about putting out in the market, knowing they're going to work and knowing we were going to, it was just going to catch fire as soon as we released these products. And so that's been probably the hardest part. I mean, you know, everything else is work, and you got to be in it to win it. You have to be in it regardless. I'm in this to help people. I don't care what the laws say. I don't really care what kind of obstacles you put in front of me. We are going to help people, period. How long will it take to help people? You know, that's the question. It, you know, is the government going to allow us to happen quicker or slower? Doesn't matter, but we're doing it regardless. We're not going to give up even if our margins go down and we're barely making money. We've designed the company to barely, you know, it doesn't require a lot of infrastructure, or it doesn't require a lot of money to keep it going. And we've designed it that way with our partners so that we can always be able to supply product to people regardless of anything. And that's our goal in doing this. It's not to make money. Making money is obviously a byproduct of what we need to do to keep the business going, but it is not our motivation in the least. You know, it's about getting the product that works to people that need relief, that want help on things, that don't want to spend an exorbitant amount of money to just feel good. I mean, that's kind of like a human right to be able to make yourself feel good and to share that knowledge with your neighbor to help them feel better, you know. And so that's just, I don't know, that's where we're coming from. Just want to help.
A very self-aware answer, you know, in terms of you know, sometimes ourselves holding us back and wanting, but for the right reasons, right, wanting to do things the right way, and not jumping into something when before we're ready, before we've put our best foot forward, definitely. You know, that's
right.
That's a challenge we all face, definitely. And you know, that leads me, you know, you gave me one self-aware answer. I'm you know, this is my favorite question here. You know, it's looking for the good one, because I know what kind of person you are. It's just very simple. What does success look like for you, whether in terms of personally, professionally, existentially? And what's your definition of success?
My definition of success is a happy family and not stressing over work every day. I understand stressing over work because of issues and things like that, because things pop up and dealing with it, but just living happily, have a happy family, happy kids, happy wife, everybody just enjoying, you know, their time here. That's, you know, if I can do that, I'm a success. If I can, outside of my family, if I can help people feel better and be healthier, that's a success. And so, you know, and if I can educate people on how to help other people, then that's just even further a success.
Love that. I love that. You know, it's, you know, we're only here for a little bit of time, right? And we have to make the most of it. We don't know what's going to be. But one thing we can do is we can leave a good legacy. We can teach our children the right way, and we can make sure we're happy, they're happy. Like you said, you know, business isn't easy. All this stuff isn't easy. It can be very stressful. But, you know, being able to come home every single night and family seeing us happy and making sure that things are properly placed in the right way, meaning, you know, we're very lucky. You know, we're in an industry that we love, that we're passionate about, that we've you know, been in for a long time and sought change for a long time, and now we're seeing it happen. And change is slow and sometimes frustrating and pisses us off. And there's stuff out of our control that we can't, you know, that we can't change. But you know what we can change is how are we at home. You know, are we coming in with a smile? Are we making our loved ones happy? Are we showing them the right way to live in the long term? So I really love that. That is amazing. It's very good, Jared. You know, as we close, how can our listeners find out more about you? Find out more about Lost Coast Wellness. And actually, before that, you know, I want to actually, what does Lost Coast mean? Right, you're on the West Coast. So what is this Lost Coast? And
how people well, can Lost Coast. It's Shelter Cove has been nicknamed the Lost Coast. It's hard to understand until you get here. We're about, let's see, 45 minutes from Garberville, which is the nearest town of probably 1,500 people or so. Our town here has about 700 or 800 residences and only about maybe 350 to 400 full-time residents. So it is a very small town. We have three restaurants, you know, we have a fishing, we have a beach, it's just magical place. And it's, we have 26 miles of coast trails that are just unbelievable. And it's been coined the Lost Coast because it's kind of hard to get to. We have an airport in our front yard, basically, with a 9-hole golf course around it. And, you know, we're right on the ocean. So it's just a magical place. When you come down, you have to go over the King's Range, which is 3,000 foot elevation. And when you come off the top of that and you start coming down, it's just a magical place. It's hard to describe other than just saying those cliche words of it's magical and all that. But when you get here, it's a different, you know, only certain cell phone carriers work. You really, really feel like you step back in time to a slower kind of pace. Everybody says hello. It's really nice. I don't know how else to describe it except for kind of just very relaxed, very chill vibes. You can make your own pace out here. It's very beautiful.
Amazing. You may not find much cell phone reception, but maybe you find some sea lines and, you know, beautiful coastline, everything like that. So amazing, man. So
absolutely. And we have vacation rentals. You know, we have vacation rentals that we have out here. Part of why we call it Lost Coast is we educate people coming out to the Lost Coast, Shelter Cove. They want to learn about whatever it is, from CBD genetics to making their own RSO oil to making their own salves. They set up an appointment with us. We get them a vacation. We have access to over 25 vacation rentals, and we get them lined up in a vacation rental. And my wife has a sound and yoga studio here, and they do all sorts of, you know, retreat type of events where, you know, people come out, they'll give them a sound bath and give them a yoga, and we'll educate them on how to make an RSO or something, or different genetics. And or maybe they're sick and they want to stay here and just kind of go through the process for a month. So we have access to that kind of environment where people kind of fly in or they drive in, come stay for a month or a week or 2 months and really get firsthand kind of course on their new alternative medicine or modality or whatever they're working on. And so that's why we call it the Lost Coast.
Okay, well, yeah, you know, I know it was tragedy that brought you, you know, from Louisiana, and no offense to Louisiana, obviously, but you definitely sound like a California guy, NorCal guy, you know, through and through. So. So very good. So now we'll go back, you know, so as we close, how can listeners find out more about you, about Lost Coast Wellness, connect with you, buy your products?
LostCoastWellness.com. We are, email is info@LostCoastWellness.com. And our Instagram handle is Lost Coast Wellness. What else is there? I guess that's it for now. They can find out now. I mean, if they want to go, actually, when this goes live, we'll be live. So that'll work out perfect.
Go there. Check it out, guys. So very good. Yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening. And thank you for jumping on today, Jared. Really appreciate you. Sharing this amazing.
Thank you, Menard.
Really. So good luck to you in the rest of 2020 and beyond.
That sounds good. And same to you, my man. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, fun time. My pleasure's mine. Thank you.
We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptake in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us. Plans start at $248. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's CALACANN.com, and follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.